Good morning and welcome to our service here this morning. I'm glad you could join us, whether you're watching live or you're catching up later in the week. Thank you for taking this time to be part of our fellowship. If you have any prayer requests, please do mark them in the comments and I'll try and draw those together at the end. Also, if you have any reflections on what we've been talking about, what we're sharing, please try and either email in, put them in the comments, find a way of communicating us. We'd love to just keep reflecting and talking together in these coming weeks. Also, if you look at our website, you can visit our prayer wall that's been up there for a little while now, so please do have a look at that. This evening, we will be thinking and praying for the people God has placed in our lives. Bismarck continues to lead our prayer ministry, and this evening, we'll break out into little small groups. People have really appreciated that opportunity of praying with one or two people, so that forms part of our evening. Well, we're going to hand over to Sarah. No, we're not. Sorry, we're not going to hand over to Sarah. We're going to hear a little message from the Hill family, and Liz is just going to introduce that now. Thank you, Toby.
Oh, look, it's recording now. Can you sit still a minute?
I had a house group with a rather sad reason, which was to say goodbye to David and we're about to move away. So we're just going to ask questions. Where and when? So, where are you going, David and Gemma and Alfie?
And Alfie. Come here. We are moving to Wyndham in Norfolk, which is about an hour away, and a little bit closer to where my mum and dad live in Lowestoft. It's a town just outside of Norwich.
Yeah.
And quite soon, very soon.
Yeah, very soon after a year to 18 months.
Yes, we reserved a house February last year.
Yeah.
And progress has been slow, but it's nearly finished. It's nearly built. It is built. It is ready for us. So now we are moving on the 5th of March, Friday the 5th.
Oh, really soon.
Very soon.
And so, David, you're staying in the same job, is that right?
I am for now, yes. So I've got a more reliable car, and I should be shuttling backwards and forwards for a bit, just while we get ourselves settled. Now the world isn't the right time to find a new job, so I'm grateful for the one I've got. So I'm going to carry on coming back to Cambridge for a little bit, unlike Gemma, who has a new job.
Yeah, so I've got a 6-month part-time contract at North Norwich Hospital in hand therapy, which is what I do at the moment at Avonbrook. So I start that on the 15th of March. So I've got a week commuting, well, 2 days commuting back to Cambridge, and then I start at North Norwich on the 15th of March.
And how long have you been at Avonbrook? That'll be quite a wrench.
Yeah. Ooh. 13 and a half years. So a long time. Yeah. Been in hand therapy the last 10 years at least, in the team there. So yeah, piece of the furniture.
And what's Alfie going to do while you're at work?
Alfie has got a new, We've booked him in to go to the nursery, the day nursery on site at North Norwich Hospital for a few days, a week. And then eventually my mum and dad will look after him for a day, which they're very much looking forward to.
Mm.
They've been looking forward to it for about a year now. So,
Yeah, they'll get their chance.
Yeah.
And you're going to look for churches when you can go to churches again, is that right?
There's
a few options, so we need to explore. There is a Baptist church there, so that's going to be one, that'll be our first kind of Port of Call. It sounds similar to where we are currently. It has a cafe as well, doesn't it?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. So yes, I mean it's important for us to have to find a family feel again. So we'll do some exploring when we get there, which will be exciting and daunting all at the same time.
We will. Yeah. You. Sure, Martin will pray for you in a minute. But is it possible, do you think, to just persuade Alfie to come back to the camera to wave?
Yeah. Give it a go.
Alfie, come here, please. Can come see mummy.
Oh, you got your rabbit. Should you show us your rabbit? Where's your rabbit?
Come here.
Can't see it.
Okay.
Where's the rabbit?
Rabbit.
Good boy.
Well, God bless you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. Yeah.
Can you wave?
Wave. Bye-bye.
Wave, Alfie.
Wave.
Can you wave? Good boy.
Well,
yeah. Bye-bye. See you later.
See you later.
Oh, well, God bless you both, and we'll be awaiting your new address.
Yes.
Well, before we hand over to Charlotte, let's just pray for David and Gemma and Alfie as well. I was going to say baby Alfie, but he's not really baby Alfie anymore. Lord God, we thank you for David and Gemma. We thank you for them joining us on our journey over the last few years. I pray a blessing. blessing on their new house and their new community. And Lord God, I pray that they would go with our best wishes. And that you would protect them and keep them safe in their new endeavours. Amen. Over to Charlotte.
Good morning, everyone.
Awesome in power of God.
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Hello everyone, here we are again. We're really pleased to think that we're gradually coming out of lockdown and slowly moving towards something that we might consider to be normal. It's been a bit of a roller coaster ride since we first went into lockdown. It certainly has. That was almost a year ago. Yes, indeed. And we've had lots of ups and downs in that time. Sometimes it's difficult to remember the order that things happened when every day is much the same.
unless you write it down. I wonder if any of you have written these things down. Have any of you kept a lockdown diary? You have. It's here. Is this it? This is Clive's diary. Clive's lockdown diary. It's got pictures of the virus and keys to lock you down. And there's a cake and a rainbow. I wonder what's inside it. Shall we have a look? Let's have a look at some of the things that you've been doing. Oh, yes. A year ago, we were painting stones for the Easter Rocks project. And then I see you got into cake making and eating, and you've been trampolining and doing jigsaws, and you had the paddling pool out, yes, when it was hot. And oh yes, you were collecting autumn leaves and growing plants and carol singing and hiding Epiphany stars and seeing people and not seeing people. Did I keep a lockdown diary? No, not really. I haven't kept a proper diary for a long while. But you know, at the prayer evening, Bismarck has challenged us to keep a blessings diary during Lent. So I've started doing that. I've taken a notebook and I'm writing my blessings in there. Have I got much in there? Well, I've got a few, yes. So I had a really nice conversation with a family who live across the way. We met them when I was going for a walk. I had a lovely chat with them. I haven't seen them since before Christmas, and that was a real blessing. And, oh yes, I listened to a new song that a friend sent me. It's not in English, and it's all about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what language it is, but it's called Uthando Uyafila. That sounds good. It was a lovely song. I'd like to know what the words are. And then this morning, I had a blessing because I received a parcel from college. It's all ready for my weekend studying. That was exciting. Clive and I have shared with you some of the things that are in our diaries. But if you kept a diary, it might be something that you wouldn't want to share. Why not? Well, it might be because everything in it is very personal and not for others to read. When I was a teenager, I kept a diary every day for 7 years, and no one else has ever read it. Sometimes I wrote about what I did, and sometimes I wrote about what I thought, and sometimes I wrote prayers. But all the things I wrote were private and personal and were just between me and God. Is God interested in the things we do and the things we think? Yes, God is interested in everything about us because he loves us so much. He is a personal God who wants to relate to us as individuals in a very personal way. Even though he is so big, yes. Isn't he too busy sorting out the universe to bother with that? No, he is never too busy or too far away or too important. He created the whole world and everything in it, and he cares about every part of his creation, especially about me and you and all of you. You think that's amazing? That God, who is above all things, who is Lord of all things, who is king over the whole universe, is interested in us. Well, Clive, I think that's amazing too, but I'm very glad it's true. I'm very glad that our sovereign God, who holds all things together, is interested in me and wants to be my personal friend. And he wants to be your personal friend too, because he loves you very much too. I think that just knowing that is a real blessing. And I'm going to write that in my blessings diary for today. And perhaps you might like to take up Bismarck's challenge too and count your blessings each day and be a blessing to others. So, until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time. Be blessed.
God is. How do we understand God? If we're not careful, we can forget to understand who God is and focus more and more on thinking about what God wants us to do or what we want God to do for us. When we want to think about God, there's only really one word that I think comes to the very forefront, and it's the word Yahweh. I am who I am. If we met someone for the first time in the street and asked them for their name, I think we'd get quite cross if they came back to us with the answer, yeah, I am who I am. I think we'd think we were trying to be a bit funny. When Moses said to God's people, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of the fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? He says. God replies, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. If we wanted to spend time delving into the fundamentals of Yahweh, we'd be stuck in libraries of books all over the place, trying to understand, define, dissect, systematize. We're not going to do that this morning because it would be primarily an academic exercise. What we're wanting to do is spend some time in wonder. Because try as we might, there's a famous quote that says, God is not only stranger than we think, but stranger than we can think. God is God. I'll leave you to marvel at that, like we would stare into space as we marvel at the stars. But when we think about God, we're not staring into space to a faraway object, because God didn't stay distant. He chose to come down to earth and ultimately be in relationship with his people, you and me. But if we understand how people interacted with gods in history, they often were portrayed as angry and distant. It's interesting to note that do not be afraid is probably the most common one-liner in the Bible. Why? Because people were afraid of God. And as a result, probably afraid of understanding him. What does the Bible, what does creation, what do people, what does the Holy Spirit say about who God is? We're going to explore that together over the coming weeks.
Transcendent means to be above the range of normal human experience. So when we talk about God as transcendent, we are thinking about the ways in which so much of God is beyond our human understanding. But just because we can't fully understand something doesn't mean we can't be aware of it or glimpse it. St. Pelagius wrote, everywhere narrow shafts of divine light pierce that veil that separate heaven from earth. God continually reveals himself to us, and yet try as we might to systematize our knowledge of him, to pin him down, we fail because although we are made in his image, we are not God. We are created and may never understand the fullness of God. For me, it's C.S. Lewis who best encapsulates, who best deals with this tension in the nature of God, in the character of Aslan, in the Chronicles of Narnia. Throughout the Narnia stories, we experience the complex character of Aslan, who, despite being warm, comforting, intimate, friendly, personal, is also at times a mystery, unknowable, and even frustrating. As Mr. Beaver warns the children when they try to understand who Aslan is, hoping to ascertain that he's a friendly lion. Safe, he says. Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king. Throughout the stories, we read times when the characters want to have Aslan at their beck and call. And many times both the reader and the characters are reminded he's wild, you know, not like a tame lion. This is my favourite quote, and it's this that I often have to remind myself of, especially when I don't think God is doing what I think he should be doing. He's not a tame lion, or as Martin has mentioned before, a cosmic vending machine. He is God, the I Am. The Bible is full of testimonies to this transcendent nature. In 2 Chronicles 2 verse 6, King Solomon says, "Who is able to build a temple for him, since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him?" The prophet Isaiah says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares Yahweh. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my ways are my thoughts higher than your thoughts." In Exodus, we read of the great terror of the people when God came to Mount Sinai. We read of the strict procedures that must be followed for priests to enter the most holy place in the tent of the meeting. The Ark of the Covenant was so holy, it couldn't even be touched, as we see to the detriment of Uzzah in 2 Samuel. The prophet Jeremiah writes, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth?" And Job says, even amongst his many struggles, "Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? I've barely scratched the surface." And I'm sure many of you will have favourite verses that speak of God's transcendence. But it's not only when we turn to scripture we are faced with our own unknowing. We just need to look to the sky at night to think of the vast, vast depth of the ocean, to watch Planet Earth or the Discovery Channel, or to really consider another human being, for us to be humbled by how little we know. What a fragment of understanding we have in comparison to the vast magnificence of our holy, transcendent God. In such presence, we may well feel scared. He is not a tame lion.
God is personal. It's hard to read scripture and get away from storytelling being the main form of communication. From Adam and Eve, Moses, to Jesus' parables, stories form the bedrock of scripture. These, though, are not stories of faraway places or mythical beings, unless you're reading Revelation. They are stories of personal encounters
between God and his people. Genesis 1 introduces God's creative act. The story of Adam and Eve tells a parallel story of Israel as God's chosen people. Adam walked with God until he was exiled from the garden. Israel walked with God until they were later exiled. Both stories tell of God's desire to be with his creation, to be with his people. Our creation story we have in the Bible is extraordinary compared to other creation stories written in similar cultures at similar times. Some of these other stories have a world being created spontaneously, or emerging out of a hole in the ground, or by a mythical figure, or even an act of violence. Because the foundation of our story says that we were created in the very image and likeness of God. Our story starts on the very foundation stone of God's goodness. Who we are is built on who God is. You can't get more personal than that. Like any good story, the Bible has big characters, Abraham and Moses. These are the ones who we have records of speaking to God, hearing God's revelation. God's big call in Genesis 12 is, "I will make you a great nation." Or we have Moses in the burning bush. These are big encounters with two people, but there is only one burning bush in Scripture. We don't expect it to happen in our everyday encounter with God. You see, though these stories, these big stories, are God's people interacting with him, it says something about God's desire to be with them in community. Big characters tell the story, but we live out the truth today. The book of Psalms also is an astounding at speaking into our personal desire, or God's personal desire, and our wrestling as God's people. They're full of laments, disorientation and wisdom. They're a record of God's people trying to understand God's desire to speak to them and the world around them. The Psalms are what John of the Cross so courageously described when he said, "God carries each person along a different road, so that you'll scarcely find two people following the same routes in even half of their journey with God." This is probably why so many of us are unsatisfied with generic messages we might get taught or even heard from the pulpit. I've heard and probably said some myself. When we go beyond the simplistic answers, you're probably wanting to sit in the tension. Quick answers don't really cut it anymore. The Psalms are written within that tension of faith. We hear amazing forms of God guiding us beside quiet waters, righteous paths. We hear about God's goodness and love that will follow us. Then we have Psalm 121. "I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth." God didn't remain silent, didn't stand aloof. He heard me and he answers us. We hear that God is in a dwelling place. We hear that God is hiding his face from the psalmist. This is not a systematic theology. It's a messy, dynamic relationship. God's people calling out, God sometimes answering, sometimes not. We now sit within that same framework. One of the most beautiful images of Jesus' storytelling is the parable of the prodigal son. The image of the father waiting to welcome his child back. You can't get more personal than that. We can all be found in the embrace of the loving father, because he's not distant and he's not aloof, even though he feels distant and can feel aloof. We live within that tension.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. So enter Jesus, the Word, the light, that which made everything. Being conceived and developed in a young woman's womb, being born as we were all born, raised as any human child, the transcendent became fully personal. Emmanuel, the Word became flesh. In the accounts we have of Jesus, we see what it is to be fully human. He cares and loves and empathizes and consoles. He lives and he dies. In Jesus, we have the transcendent and the personal. In our lives, we go forward with a personal knowledge of Jesus and experience of God through the Holy Spirit. But God also remains transcendent. He isn't a tame lion, but he loves us and wants us to know him. We live in this tension. We may want only the personal, but for God to be God, he cannot be tamed.
Well, we're going to draw our time of worship together. We haven't had any prayer requests on the comments, so I'm just going to pray for our church community, and then Charlotte will lead us in a time of song worship. Lord God, we thank you for the gathered church, and as we're scattered, we pray a blessing. We pray that we might know you personally in the realities of our isolation, in the realities of our hard work, in the realities of our boredom, our frustration, in the realities of our fear, that we might know you and hear from you. For those of us who are riddled with doubt, I pray that you would comfort and speak. I pray that you would speak to us through your Spirit's power, but also speak to us through community, through scripture, through the encouragement that we give one another. And as we look forward to things easing up as a country, I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that we would hold the important things, that they would bind us together and give us wisdom as we seek to continue to change and adapt to the reality that a year has passed and many of us are very different than we were a year ago. This will have impacted and affected us. Bless us now as a church community. Thank you, Charlotte.
Victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and ascended. Creator and sustainer. And so just a challenge for you, if you are out and about this week, maybe you would like to take photos of what you see as God's creation. If you are at home, maybe you would like to take an image of God's creation and how he is the sustainer in your lives. That might be of nature, that might be of people, things that you see about you. See the hand of God as creator and sustainer. If you could take pictures and send them in to us, we hope to show them next week.
And also this week on Monday, Claire and I are going to try something that you'd broadly call a podcast, just a conversation where we reflect a little bit on what we've shared, what we've listened to this morning as people have emailed and sent comments in. And just an opportunity, really, the question I want to ask is, so we've said all this stuff about who God is, but so what? How does that impact my Monday? How does that impact my relationship? So we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about that. I'd love just to pray, say the grace over our community now. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
God bless, and we look forward to seeing you next week.